And good morning. And a special good morning to those of you who are watching on live stream or on a tape delay. Our blessing to God for giving us the opportunity to be together in a variety of ways. In this month of July, our prayer verses are found in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 5 through 9. You will also find those verses on your worship program. They're also found on the song sheet of the songs that we are singing. So whether you use the blue piece of paper or whether you use one of the others, we're going to be able to recite together our prayer verses of the month. And following that, I will be reading our verses to reflect on for this morning. And that is found in the last chapter of Hebrews 13, verses 7 through 9. So as we say our verses together, the verses of the month, I invite you to join with me by standing either physically or in your heart before God in reverence to Him as we say these words together from the book that we love. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. And now from Hebrews 13, beginning at verse 7. Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings. God's very word. Thanks be to God, and you may be seated. Even though Renee and I have told the story to a few of you individually, I don't think I've ever told it from up here. We were looking very recently at a place where we could volunteer together. We want to be able to do that. And we thought Feeding America might be one of those places. So we volunteered for a three-hour shift, and when we arrived, we were assigned Pop-Tart duty. That was our job. Kellogg's was coming out with a new campaign for Pop-Tarts that was going to be on their boxes. So they had to pull all the old Pop-Tarts off of all the store shelves and replace it with all the new Pop-Tart coverings. And of course, they took all the old Pop-Tarts and brought them to their warehouse, and they would be distributing them on the trucks like what we often get, month after month, year after year. Same Pop-Tarts, different marketing strategy. Our job was to take the old boxes, open them up, pull out the Pop-Tarts, count them, make sure that there were 6 Pop-Tarts in that box, put them back in, and tape it shut. Because heaven forbid someone receive Pop-Tarts as a donation, and there would be less than 6 Pop-Tarts in that box. So we fulfilled our 3-hour commitment, but we did not go back to volunteer again. I don't want to force a comparison, but a Pop-Tart is a Pop-Tart, regardless of the box. No matter often how He is talked about or presented, Jesus is the same, whether it's through a talk, whether it's through a shared testimony, whether it's through a song. His story is that being part of the very nature of God, coming from eternity past, Jesus chose to come to earth, taking on human form to live a human life with us, yet without sin, so He could offer up His life on the cross as a perfect payment for our sin, and then rise again on the third day, so that anyone who would come to him and confess their sin and turn to him as the great forgiver and the great leader could be brought into the eternal family of God. This is the story of the changeless Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So I'm going to reflect on these three verses in three parts, in the second part in four parts. But we're going to begin by reflecting on the changeless Jesus. Our passage does not say that the ways of Jesus don't change. Nor does our passage say Jesus always does exactly the same, but that he is always the same, timeless. His character never changes. His attributes remain steady. His love is always steadfast. We can have strong confidence that the God who took care of and provided for those in the Old Testament whose stories we refer to in the book of Hebrews, or those that are on display in the New Testament church, God's same character and message can be counted on today. He doesn't change. He remains the same. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is where life starts. He is where life will end. And he is everything else in between. That's verse 8. So now we can say amen, sing a song, and I'll go home. But let's not move too fast. Commentators make a strong connection with verses 7 and 9 to verse 8. Jesus, ever changeless, uses church leaders to solidify the faith of the life of the church so that the church can be inspired to live a faithful life like those who have gone before us. And so we read in verse 7, "Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith." The changeless Jesus. There is also, secondly, in these verses, something about the certainty about God's way. And in the certainty, there are four things that I like to make reference to that talks about how God's way is constant, faithful, and can be counted on. The first way that we saw was with the Old Testament leaders that were referred to in the book of Hebrews. F.F. Bruce, who is sort of like my goat of biblical commentators, F.F. Bruce writes on these verses that God uses human leaders to connect the church with Jesus' teaching. God uses faithful church leaders to connect the church to God's faithful church teachings. The Christians that this book was written to were not a bunch of individuals, but Christians who were gathered together in fellowships, in study groups, in times of prayer. Leaders played a large part of how faith was going to be formed in these different groups in the early church. One of the first lessons we saw about the leaders that God uses is that God uses leaders who have a track record of being flawed people. That's what we saw. Hebrews 11, Old Testament leaders of the people of God. One was a textbook narcissist. One was a hiding and scared leader. One was one who couldn't control his anger. One was a coward who wouldn't go unless someone else went before him. One got drunk. One had an affair. And yet these flawed leaders point to the faithfulness and the compassion and the power of God. He does not allow the frailty of humanity stop him from his plan or his purpose. That doesn't mean that we are with excuse, not at all. But he does not allow a frail humanity stop him from his goal. God uses broken people. Though faith might be as small as the size of a mustard seed. So we see that in God's way from the Old Testament leaders that he uses people that are broken and flawed at times. And then secondly, we see in these verses that God comes along and at times he changes leadership within a gathering of people. Leaders of the church, it says, are to be honored and followed, and that is not to be determined by their personality. Or even if the person who is leaving is loved, that is going to be harder to follow the successor, not at all. Whoever God sends to lead a local church or a local gathering of people are worthy of being followed and being submitted to because they carry the weight of responsibility. For while leaders change, God's word does not. And God's leaders will always put God's word front and center. And because God's word is certain, it matters not how the leader is packaged. He might be packaged to look a little bit more like Barney Fife, or even sound like him from time to time. Or it might be a leader that's a little bit more like the Arnold. Church leaders are to be cooperated with, not just followed, but worked with alongside. It says to make their responsibility easier so they can have joy in ministry and not sorrow. We read in verse 17 of the same chapter, Hebrews 13. Have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you. Whoever your new pastor will be, honor that person. Follow that person, because they are going to come in the same tradition that I came from, a tradition of someone who is submitted fully to God and to the teachings of Jesus' church. A change in leadership does not mean a change in Jesus' message. God decides at times to make a change in leadership. Thirdly, then, it says, though there is a change in leadership, those in the church, leaders, and participants have a responsibility to examine their teaching. Is a church to blindly accept a new leader who says they have a new message? Part of our tradition, of the Reformed tradition, is that teachers and speakers have a thorough training in the Bible and in the ways of God. At the same time, the church has a responsibility to make sure that the message is sure. We read in verse 9, do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings. A main responsibility of a leader is to properly teach what God says in his word and then applying the timeless truth to the ever-changing context. Church lay leaders join with those leaders in the responsibility of making sure that what is taught and what is spoken is biblically true. This was given to the church in the first century because they would be immediately challenged by two false teachings that needed to be put down. The first one said, when Jesus came, he was fully human, but he was not divine. He was a mere mortal just like us, and this teaching started to make its way into the church. Yes, maybe he was specially anointed by Father God, but he was not divine in nature. If this was true, then Jesus would not have been morally pure. He would have been flawed just like you and me, and he could not have been that perfect sacrifice offered for the forgiveness of our sins. And so the church worked hard to debunk that. On its heels was a second heresy that says that Jesus was only divine and he was not human at all. In a way, he was a bit like a ghost or a spirit who entered the world but did not enter the world as a human. No, the church has always held that Jesus is 100% human and 100% divine. 100% divine because he was without sin. And being without sin, he could then be the perfect sacrifice for a payment for our sin. So these standards continue to be examined by the church for 2,000 years. 100% divine, 100% human. And they need to be held on to. Now, the writer of Hebrews is saying it's not only up to the church pastor, but to the church leaders to make sure that what is taught is biblically truth. So those are some of the responsibilities that talk about the leaders and the church working together. And there is a fourth one. So let me go there and enter into some murky water with you. And I use a very contemporary word called packaging. I don't know of another word that could describe it. The message of Jesus has remained the same. How he is talked about often changes. The Apostle Paul wrote in how he came to different cities and how he came to different people groups. His message was the same, but how he presented it changed. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 22, "To the weak I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might save some." He tried to understand his context so that he could shape this timeless, pure, unchanging message of Jesus, that the people might commit their hearts to him. This was very consistent in the life of the Apostle Paul, presenting the timeless truth of the gospel in some different ways in the different cities that he went to. We see this even in Mark's gospel. In Mark's gospel, there's a series, almost a rapid-fire series of healings done by Jesus. And he does them all in a different way. At times, Jesus spoke healing. At times, he used mud. Sometimes he spoke from a distance. At times, Jesus spoke words of healing in front of someone. There was not simply one and only one formula Jesus used to bring healing. He brought healing through a variety of ways. So what I am trying to say is, as we together believe what the Bible says is true, timeless, that message of Jesus doesn't change. How we can present it at times should be open to some possibilities. To me, that's how it was in the first century church. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. What he was to the men and the women of the past, he is today. He is the changeless Christ in which the church has found a refuge for over 2,000 years. We look to teachers of the past, teachers like Luther, like Edwards, Calvin, or maybe a teacher in your past, a teacher from a classroom, or one of your Sunday school teachers, or a children's worship leader, to establish Christ in your heart, to make faith firm, a message about a changeless Christ. And so we have come to the end of the book of Hebrews, and we're going to close in a little different way. As we have made our way through the book of Hebrews, I started off in chapter 1, my recording with you, the different names of Jesus in the scripture passage that we were looking at. And for a while, I did that as we went into chapters 2 and 3, being able to recite to you the different titles of the names of Jesus. There was a time where I stopped doing that. Because of my physical health, I had to let go of some things to do the things I needed to do. But I found someone who was diligent in that area. And so I've been able to come up with a list close to 100 different names and titles of Jesus. And we're going to close our time in Hebrews by going through it. I've asked Anna to join me up here.
God's final word.
Son of the Father.
Image of God's glory.
Source of everything.
Sustainer of everything.
Heir of all things.
Purifier of everything.
Supreme over everything.
Flesh of our flesh.
Man of sorrows.
Sympathizer in chief.
Devourer of death.
Disabler of the devil.
Liberator of all fears.
Sanctifier of the saints.
Elder brother.
Architect of salvation.
Apostle of our faith.
Restorer of our humanity.
Resolute redeemer.
High priest of our faith.
God's authorized agent.
The greater Moses.
Builder of the house.
Master of the house.
Land of promise.
Our champion at court.
Seasoned advocate.
Storehouse of mercy.
Storehouse of grace.
Fountainhead of salvation.
The greater Joshua.
Our Sabbath rest.
High priest of heaven.
Victor over temptation.
Giver of grace and mercy.
Our helper.
Represents humanity to God.
Chosen by God.
Perfectly obedient one.
Source of salvation.
High priest like Melchizedek.
Goal of our growth.
Daylight of our darkness.
Heaven's greatest gift.
The focus of the Spirit.
The power of the future.
The blessing of Abraham.
The goodness of God.
Our city of refuge.
God's unending vow to us.
God's reign upon us.
Expert of reconnaissance.
Anchor of hope.
Promised mediator.
Authorized mediator.
Holy mediator.
Blameless mediator.
Unblemished mediator.
Devoted mediator.
Exalted mediator.
Permanent mediator.
Perpetual mediator.
Sacrificial mediator.
Rectifying mediator.
Proxy mediator.
The perfect mediator.
The better mediator.
The better sacrifice.
The better covenant.
The better promise.
The perfect redeemer.
Unveiled pioneer.
Eternal inheritance.
Once and for all.
Reality behind the shadows.
The willing sacrifice.
Perfecter of the saints.
The law on our hearts.
Our way maker forever.
Source of total cleansing.
The hope we proclaim.
Refuge from final judgment.
Reward for perseverance.
The impending king.
The great day approaching.
Epicenter of our faith.
Perimeter of our faith.
Noah's ark for a new start.
Destinations of heaven's nomads.
Unshakable dwelling place.
Sarah's laugh fully vindicated.
Abraham's blessing to the nations. Isaac's permanent resurrection. Moses' priceless treasure. Israel's grandest exodus.
Themes of countless witnesses.
The portal of an unshakable kingdom. The priority of an unshakable kingdom. The praises of an unshakable kingdom. The presence of an unshakable kingdom. The same yesterday, today, and forever.
May God, who put all things together and make all things whole, who made a lasting mark through the sacrifice of Jesus, the sacrifice of blood, seal his eternal covenant with us, who led Jesus, our great shepherd, up and alive again. Amen and amen. Thank you, Anna. And now I invite you to join with me in prayer. Dear Jesus, how we bless you that you are all those things and so much more. Thank you that you are tender shepherd, the one who holds our hearts in your hand. How we bless you for your great love, how we bless you for your great actions, and how we bless you for your greatness, just for who you are. Thank you for being all these things. And we pray that as we continue to grow in you, that you will help us, Father God, to experience you more and more in all this mosaic number of ways. Thank you for your loving kindness for us. Thank you that because of your loving kindness, we can lift our needs to you. And when there is answers to prayer, we know that the answers have come from you. We join in rejoicing with Renee in the birth of a granddaughter. We give thanks that mother and daughter are doing well. We bless you for this young life and pray for your protection physically, emotionally, and spiritually over her. We rejoice with the Garants in that Julie's father had a successful surgery this week, and we pray that you will bring healing and health to him. We join with Ralph in praying for strength and grace as he and his family deal with news about his grandmother. And we pray, Lord, that they will find all of their strength that they need in you. We continue to lift up our brother Bob, that you will protect his body physically. Fevers and ailments that come his way, we pray, Lord, that you will protect him, that you will surround him with the blood shield of Jesus. We pray, Lord, that any fevers would not step in the way of a successful chemo treatment this week. And in the meantime, that you will surround Bob and Marge and their family with more of your grace and more of yourself. So we pray not just for physical healing and treatments. We pray spiritually that your spirit would rest upon them. We join with Elizabeth in praying for a coworker who is having a hard time as well with her mom having to be moved into an assisted living place. We pray that you will surround her with grace. We thank you for renewed strength and energy for Sharon Jansma, recovering from COVID and other things. We pray that you will continue to protect her and watch over her. We bless you for Reed and Sharon and for their opportunity to celebrate 42 years of marriage together. We bless you for that. Thank you for your faithfulness that they have demonstrated in their life together. We pray, Father God, that you will be with our neighbors around this campus here. And today and this week, we pray specifically for our neighbors on Willard. We pray, Father God, that you will give to them a double blessing on this day and that they would know this week that that blessing comes from you. We pray for our missionary partners. And today and this week, we pray for the Siwalkas in World Renew in Africa. Bless them as they serve, as they teach the nationals in their homeland better ways to crop, to do business, to earn money that they might be able to provide for their family, extended family, in a better way. Keep them protected physically and spiritually too. Thank you, Father God, for your goodness to us. Thank you for watching over us and giving to us all that we need. And Father God, I know I've probably forgotten some important prayer requests, but I just present them silently to you. Thank you that you know all things and you know our heart. And we lift to you from within our heart the prayer needs and concerns that we have. Thank you for knowing each of us intimately and inside out, that you know what those needs and concerns are. Bless you. So as best we know how, we offer ourselves to you. We pray these things in Jesus' name, and everyone agreed and said, amen.